we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. I'm so thankful that you found 91.5 on your radio tuning device found it at 8:30 of a morning to listen to the Word of God. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, working hard on getting into 26 years of ministry. We've been at pastoring for 25 and a half years. November will make 30 years we've been in Brevard County, and boy, has it changed. Has it changed a lot in the nearly 30 years that we've been here. I think we're coming up on our five-year anniversary of the Refresh Radio program come October, so we've got some mileage under our belt. Our vocal cords have some miles on them, and we're glad that we get to spend a half hour with you here, whether you're listening at 8:30, 10:30, or 5 o'clock of an evening. And if you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you come and visit us. We're not the biggest church around, but we are preaching the Word of God, believing the Word of God, living the Word of God, and proclaiming the Word of God, because God says in Psalm 119 that He will revive us according to His Word, and our country, our world needs revival in a great, great sense. So with that being said, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 6. We started this series on the light because of Matthew chapter 5. We are working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And verse number 14 of Matthew chapter 5 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So we see you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. Now today we are going to be looking at the vehicle that Satan uses to a great extent to bring darkness into our life. It can be darkness in a financial realm. It can be darkness in a spiritual realm, darkness in a relationship, darkness to a business. And so we're going to look at it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 22. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" In two verses there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, there is so much truth that it reinforces to us, it reminds us of how important it is with what we do with our eyes. Job said he made a covenant with his eyes. In Hebrews, I believe it is, it says we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have the ability to focus what we look at. There may be some things that happen that we see because they just happen right there in our vision field. You know, you can be driving down the road and all of a sudden you see an accident that takes place right there. You weren't looking for the accident to happen. You were just driving along and all of a sudden, bam, there's two cars running into one another. You weren't looking for it. You weren't anticipating it, but there, you saw it. But it is another thing to have that accident happen while you're driving down the road, and you get so fixated on watching the vehicles as they careen in different directions, and the carnage and the metal and the plastic flying all over the place, and tires and metal parts going every which direction, that you get so fixated on watching what's going on with those vehicles that you end up causing an accident on your own self. That's because of what you chose to do with your eye. And believe me, I'm speaking from experience. One day I was driving down the road, and the vehicle we had at the time, the air conditioner quit working. I just looked down to turn the air conditioner off because it wasn't working anyway, and looked up, and the vehicle that was several cars in front of me had decided to hit the brakes. I hit my brakes. I came to a screech, but I didn't quite come to a stop, and I bumped into them. Well, the guy behind me, he didn't even stop that much, and I became the meat on a three-car sandwich there, and it all happened because I made a decision with my eyes that was 20 some years ago. I made a decision with my eyes, and it impacted a lot of different people's reality. And so I want to encourage you to look at your visual habits, because it is the way that the enemy brings darkness into our life, and it is also the portal through which God brings light into our life. We need God to be Lord over our eyes. So here's what it says. The lamp of the body is the eye. Okay? So everything that we are taking in through our visual field of perception, it is not just impacting those two little soft tissue areas, just right of center and left of center and above center on our face. It impacts everything that we do. How well we see determines with the confidence with which we walk. It really is a life-changing portal. It says, therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So if you've listened to this radio program for any length of time, you have probably heard me talk about a night that changed my life pretty seriously. It was something that I never saw coming, had no family history of it or anything like that. And that was a Saturday night when I was laying in bed just waiting to fall asleep. I think I was reading my iPad, and all of a sudden my retina popped. I had a detached retina. Not the first person that ever had that. Not the last person. I've run into people that they've had more retinal issues than what I've had. That night, the light that comes into my eye began to change, and I knew something was going on, but I didn't know exactly what it was. I thought something was causing me to be able to see the end of my nose, but that was actually the retina that had recoiled over my vision field, and it was not enabling me to see. It was causing my left eye not to function well. And so I made a comment. I went to church the next day. That was on a Saturday night. I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. I took my wife to the hospital, and, you know, I was just kind of expecting things to get better. My wife had a medical test that Monday morning, and I took her to that. And on the way home from that, I said, you know, I think I've got a problem with my eye. And she made an appointment, got me into the doctor on Tuesday. So Saturday night late to Sunday to Monday to Tuesday. It's almost 72 hours. The doctor looked at my eye and pushed her chair back, and she said, you have a detached retina. Your eye is bad. And so I'm going to get you in to see a specialist as soon as I can. And so that's what I did. I drove home, told my wife, said, they said it's a detached retina. I don't even really know what that means at this point in time, but I went to the retinal specialist, and I'll never forget that when she looked at the situation, the first words out of her mouth. Now this is 96 hours, almost 96 hours. And she said these words, you should have come to me sooner. You shouldn't have waited so long. When your eye is bad, the earlier you get involved in the reparation process, the better. And so she said, you know, you should have come to me sooner. Fortunately, she was a phenomenal ophthalmologist, and she told me what to do. And you know, she was very matter of fact about it. How many of you, if you have this person that's trying to restore your sight, want to pay attention and do what they say, not necessarily be fixated on what, you know, how nice they say it. You know, most people want a pastor that's a really nice guy, but I tell you, my reward is not going to be when I get to heaven on how nice a guy I am. It's going to be, did you communicate the good news of Jesus Christ and the reality of sin, and the way to win the war against sin? Did you communicate that? You know, I'm assigned the responsibility of preaching truth in enemy territory where people don't want to see that. I'll never forget, in 2017, God gave me a word. In the land of darkness, light is offensive, and in the land of deception, truth is offensive. That was a message from God that I got. And I'm here to tell you that the reality, the spiritual reality, is this. If your spiritual eye is bad, if your physical eye is bad, you need to not procrastinate. You need to get the help that is necessary. You need to see the specialist, and you need to see that specialist right now. The truth of the matter is this. God gave us eyes that He wants us to see. And so I'm very thankful for the work that Dr. Hershberger did for me. I can see, but I will tell you, once she made the repairs that were necessary, which involved a laser, it also involved a very large needle. You know, it involved some sleepless nights, some positions that weren't your favorite way. You know, I've still got my neck brace and everything that she did with that situation. I keep that because I'm still believing that vision field is going to be restored completely and totally. What happened was, when the eye went bad, even though there was a repair made, the brain still had to make sense out of new visual inputs. And when Jesus comes into the situation, there, you've got to say, you know what? I need to see things the way that God sees them now, not the way that I used to look at them. You know, when we were in sin, we used to look at things and it was like no big deal. Everybody's doing it. When you are in a relationship with God and you see that has a bearing on affecting Him in a negative manner, all of a sudden you take on a whole new perception of what sin does. Sin hurts people. Sin hurts God. it causes him displeasure. So I don't want to be a part of that. And so we need to look at things. We need a heavenly worldview. Let me put it that way. There's a survey that I get the results of from time to time, and it describes that there are a lot more people claiming to be Christians than have a biblical worldview. There are a lot of people that don't want to look at things the way God's word says you got to look at it. A lot of people trying to redefine things that the word of God says is sin. And they're saying, no, you know, maybe it used to be sin, but it's not sin no more. And God says, yes, it is. We need to make a covenant with our eyes, because we want our life filled with light. He says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. He says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, I want you to know we're talking more than just what you can see with your physical eyes. What is being discussed here is that there is spiritual darkness. So let me talk to you about some areas that the enemy will use that eyesight of yours to lead you into spiritual darkness. Guys, we tend to be very visually visually motivated. It's one of those things that we're made up of, from things that I'm told, things that you see, that they end up getting like seared onto your own personal hard drive. It gets very hard to forget some of the things that you have seen. And so we have got to be very careful. We need to ask God to be Lord over our eyes, so that we are not looking at things that are going to bring spiritual darkness into our life. Okay? Pornography is one of those things that you cannot afford in your life, and I cannot afford in my life. It brings darkness. It comes from a word, porneo, that is in the New Testament, and it is not something to be embraced. It is something to be avoided. Okay? And so you need to recognize that is a tactic of the enemy that is designed to bring you spiritual darkness. Ladies, it might not be with the visual eye that the enemy brings in some of those things into your life. It might be with your imagination, where you begin to visualize and fantasize about things going on in your head, that the enemy tries to bring darkness into your life. And what happens with those two things that we're talking about, for the men or for the ladies, is it is an attempt of the enemy to breed discontent into your life with your spouse or with God or God's timing or God's provision. And it is designed to get you to try and go into comparison. Well, this person is better than my spouse, or this is better than anything that God has for me. And instead of bringing greater illumination, it ends up bringing greater darkness. And before you know it, your whole world falls apart. And it all began with what we granted access to the portal of our eye. Okay? Do you realize that you have the ability to close your eyes? I've got mine closed. If you're driving down the road right now, don't do this. Okay? Wait. I can close my eyes. And when I close my eyes, I know that there's some numbers that are going off over here onto my right-hand side in the studio, and there's a little graph that shows what my voice is doing. I know that there's some lights in front of me. There's some lights above me. There's some lights over to the left. There's a door. I know what all of the surroundings are, but I have intentionally chosen not to look at those things. When I open up my eyes, I'm fixated right now on Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23. If I want to see it better, I put my glasses on because I want the light that is in my life to be impacting my whole body. The truth of the matter is once you've been exposed to the light, you don't want to have anything to do with the darkness anymore. If you choose to forsake light and embrace darkness, you are not going to find the joy in the darkness. You are going to find the misery. I have been told that there are a number of people in this world that it's pretty difficult to bring them satisfaction. The first of those, let me just put it to you this way, is a backslidden pastor, a pastor that used to love God, love to tell people about God, and gave all of that up for the things of this world. Got his eyes fixed on the creation more than the creator, and before you know it, he had sinned like David, focused on the wrong things, and heartache and devastation came into his life. And now he's miserable knowing the truth of God's word and knowing that he didn't live up to that. And he's not enjoying the pleasures of sin because he knows too much about the word of God too. He's just an absolutely miserable place to be. If you find yourself where maybe you had some keen spiritual insight and vision in your life in the past, and right now there's darkness, I want you to know that there is a tremendous ophthalmologist, a spiritual ophthalmologist that I can recommend to you, and his name is Jesus. One of the most frequently recorded miracles that he did while on earth was opening blinded eyes. And I will tell you, spiritual vision is even more important than physical vision. I could tell you about a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby, who wrote some of the most famous hymns that the church has ever had. And the first thing that her eyes would ever see would be the King in glory. Because she didn't have earthly vision, but there was spiritual light inside of her that said, you know what, I might not be able to see with my eyes, but I can see it in my spirit. And you know what? I will take a visionary over a person that doesn't appreciate the gifts that they've been given any day of the week. Okay? So, Let me just throw out this one more thing to you. If you haven't had your eyes checked, get them checked, okay? Florida's environment is very, very hard on the eyes. And so you want to get those, you want to get your eyes checked, wear proper sun protection for your eyes. It makes a big difference. So with my situation, even though the doctor restored the eyesight a little while after that, about a year and a half after that, I had a cataract in that same eye, and I had to go through surgery all over again and get that all taken care of. And I went and I tried to play golf, something that I enjoy doing. And you know what? I had a hard time knowing with confidence where the golf ball was. And because of that, it was a little more frustrating than usual. But I didn't give up on that. I just kept declaring, God, you have given me a word that I'm going to see clearly. And I believe that is going to come to pass. And I don't even know how many years ago that was. Now I'm horrible at keeping track of time, but I can tell you this, I can see now. My brain is able to interpret four different vision signals that come in, And it helps me to make sense of that. And, you know, if you were to look at me when you're when we're having a conversation, you would never be able to tell that I used to have an eye problem because of the work that the doctors did. Now, one time I went and I saw another doctor because my doctor was on vacation or something. So they said, well, what did she do for you? And I told her, and he looked in my eye, and this is what that doctor said. She did a lot more than that. He could tell the work that doctor, the ophthalmologist, had done in my eye. I pray that you and I will allow God to work in our sight, our eyesight, our spiritual eyesight, to such an extent that people who used to know us would say, you know what, God has done a great work. Your eye used to bring darkness into your life, and now it is bringing spiritual light into your life. And I tell this story at church as well. Jesus healed a blind man. He made this interesting statement to him. He said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And I've thought about that a lot. That guy ended up going out and telling everybody. But why... I said, why would that blind man not need to tell anybody? And the reality is this: when you have no spiritual sight, when you have no physical sight, in that society, it impacted the clothes that you could wear, what you could do. Everybody around you knew if you could not see. When Jesus healed that man's sight, just by the way that he walked, people were going to be able to tell by the conversations that he had without them telling him, hey, you know what? Jesus healed me. You know, there, it was miracles like that that caused the religious leadership to say, what in the world is going on? And people would say, you know what? God is doing things that no one has ever done. I pray that we will not have the same eye damage in the church that exist in people's lives outside of the church. I pray that God will help all of us to be Lord over our eyes, that he will be Lord over our eyes, and that we would make sure that the portals that we have to bring light into our body are working appropriately to bring God glory instead of working to bring greater darkness into our life and make Satan very, very happy. May you fix your eyes on Jesus today. He is the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Beep.